Today we want to celebrate grandparenting, and we know that the official Grandparents Day is not until the first September, Sunday in September, thanks to our good friend Jimmy Carter in 1973, who signed that into a resolution. But we couldn't do a family series without looking at this important role that's a very biblical role about the influence and the role, responsibility, relationships that grandparents have with their grandchildren. As we've said throughout this entire series, God instituted, created the family. He did so when he made Adam and breathed in Adam the breath of life. He immediately recognized that it was not good for Adam to be alone. And so he made a woman. He brought them together. He blessed them and he gave them this command. Multiply, fulfill the earth. Fill the earth, right? And Genesis chapter 3 describes what happened. Adam and Eve were blessed with Cain and Abel and Seth. And then halfway through chapter 4, it makes this statement, Genesis 4, 17. Cain lay with his wife, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Enoch. That might cause you to scratch your head. Not only is it the first moment where Adam and Eve became grandparents, but also, where did Cain get his wife, right? Because so far in Scripture, we only see five people, right? Adam, Eve, Cain, Abel, and Seth. So where did Cain's wife come from? Well, I'm grateful that chapter 5 kind of answers that question for us. It says that Adam lived a total of 800 years. He had many sons and many daughters. And what that tells us is that the all origin of humanity came from one source. That was God through Adam and Eve. But you might still be scratching your head a little bit and say, like, so you're telling me that Cain's wife was his relative? I mean, didn't God forbid incestual relationships? Isn't it a proven fact that genetic mutation happens when close relatives try to procreate? I mean, even the state of Kentucky forbids cousins from marrying, right? So what's going on here, right? Well, here's the reality. What God started in perfection, sin had the ability to degenerate. Here's what I mean by that. God instituted the family. He made Adam and Eve in perfection. Cain, Abel, Seth, all of Adam and Eve's children were born in perfection. But sin had a way to mutate, to degenerate what God had created in perfection. The dysfunction, the ripple effect of sin has continued to grow ever since. So we look at how the first family multiplied. And yes, God used the family itself to populate the earth. And as the human race expanded, the need for looking to relatives to procreate diminished. God ultimately forbid that practice. And I think the world's been better ever since. The rest of Genesis chapter 5 actually records the genealogy from Adam all the way to Noah, where we have to kind of point out that when Noah and his sons and daughters were put into the ark to save the human population afterwards, they were given the responsibility to repopulate the earth. We all have ancestral roots back to Adam as humans. And from generation to generation, we all have a responsibility to each other. God made a covenant with Abraham, and he said, "It is through your offspring, through your generation, I'm going to bless all the peoples of the earth." God is often referred to as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, as well as the God of Jacob. And the relationship that God established with Abraham and his descendants was to be a model for how we could relate to God and how God relates to us. The family was God's design method or vehicle to help every generation know and follow him. That's why the role and responsibility of every member of the family has so much importance, so that every generation throughout history, even today, can come to know the truth about God. On the night that God rescued his people Israel from Egypt, God commanded Moses to have all the people institute a sacred celebration. It was called the Passover. And it was to celebrate the fact that the death angel passed over the people of Israel's home when they put the blood of a lamb around the doorpost. And God instructed his people to never forget what he had done for them and to make this an annual celebration to always remember God and what he had done on their behalf. He told Moses, he told them to observe this sacred ceremony when they went into the promised land that God was providing them, to teach their children and their children all that God had done for them. He commanded that in Exodus 10 and in Exodus 12. And then God gave Moses the Old Testament law. And he again affirmed the role that the family has to teach and train each generation to love, to obey, and to serve God. Moses said in Deuteronomy 4 to the people of Israel, "Hear the decrees and laws I am about to teach you. Follow them that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God of your ancestors is giving you. Do not add to what I command you and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I gave you. Only be careful and watch yourself closely that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them." God stressed the role and responsibility that parents as well as grandparents have to teach God's ways to the next generation. In Deuteronomy 6, Moses said this, "These are the commands and the laws of the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you're crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. These commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." You know, there's a tendency that as we get older, we think our time for hard work is finished. It's time that we think like we've put in our time, now it's their time. When that comes to life and to work, to church, even to family. As we get older, there's a tendency to become more selfish with our time, with our energy, and even our money. We can become more cynical and skeptical. We can become judgmental. We can become spiteful. We often forget the good things that God has done, and we fail to pass on the truth about God to those who are coming after us. The current generation needs the wisdom of the previous generation. The experience, the perspective, and the testimony about God needs to pass on from one generation to the other. It's vital. God designed it that way, and he desires every generation to engage with the next, especially when it comes to spiritual things. In fact, if you read those instructions in Deuteronomy and you read through Joshua, then into Judges, by Judges chapter 2, it says that there was a generation that came next that did not know God or remember the things he had done for Israel. That's what hangs in the balance, my friends, of those of us in this generation not passing on faith to the next generation. We cannot let the gap of technology or terminology, meaning like we have no idea what our grandkids are saying and the lingo they use. We can't let time, the fact that we're all too busy, create barriers between the older generation and the younger generation. Studies have shown that kids with a high level of grandparent involvement tend to have less emotional problems, reduced behavior issues, and even fewer challenges with peers. In fact, healthy grandparent relationships lead to less depression in both grandparents and grandchildren. Cultures with involved grandparents experience less infant and childhood mortality because often grandparents provide financial and emotional support so that every family can flourish. And the good news for grandparents is this: your role also has benefits for yourself. It's not just good for the grandkids, it's good for you. Research shows that involved grandparents live longer, they have more fulfilling lives, and they also remain mentally sharp as they age. I'm not a grandparent yet. And so as I prepared for this message, I had to reach out to some people who are actually living out what the Bible talks about being a godly grandparent. They're the type of people I want to be when I grow up, right? And so I asked them, what are some godly advice that you would pass on to your fellow grandparents who might be gathered this Sunday morning? And so I made a list of some of the things that they shared. How can a grandparent be invested into the next generation? Well, here's the first idea. Grandparents can provide accessible childcare. And all the young parents said, amen, you're welcome, right? I'll make a confession. Christy and I have often lived in towns that aren't anywhere close to our parents, sometimes as many as 4 or 5 hours away from them. So we've always been a little jealous of our friends, especially when our kids were younger, whose parents lived in town and seemed like any time that they needed childcare or babysitting, just to go out on the town, or just something came up, they always have their parents to rely on. I want to be quick to give honor where honor is due. Even though our parents lived away, they attempted to be engaged grandparents. They had meaningful relationship with our kids. But we always felt a little shorted, you know? We wanted there to be like quick access to some people that we trusted who could provide childcare or just help in the time of need. Grandparents, you can do that. Grandparents, you can step in and provide trustworthy, reliable care for the kids of your kids. And sometimes that just needs to be in the pinch of a moment, like when one of the kids gets sick and needs to get picked up from school. You could respond instead of mom or dad interrupting their workday. Or maybe there's something that comes up unexpectedly. You can step in and fill in. If you need to provide child care while mom and dad work, you can often do so just to help out, or maybe at a reduced cost, certainly compared to the average cost of child care these days, right? Grandparents, let me speak to you specifically. Don't wait for your kids to ask for help. Offer. Here's what you can do. You can offer to them, like, why don't you and your spouse go out tonight? We'll keep the kids. That's a way to invest in your kids as well as their own kids and keep that generational connectedness together. I realize that there are many grandparents right now who are actually playing the role of primary caregiver because the actual parents of those kids have forfeited their role or responsibility, maybe due to addiction or incarceration. Maybe it's chronic illness, or maybe it's sudden death. Whatever the case, grandparents can offer a safe and trusted safety net for children, and especially if their parents are unable to fulfill their role. To you grandparents who are playing that primary role, I just want to say a word of affirmation to you. Thanks for stepping up and stepping in. Thanks for re-engaging your parenting skills in a time that is needed. Continue to pour love and care and direction into those that God has entrusted to your care. Here's another thing grandparents can do. Grandparents can give undivided attention. Parents have a lot of responsibility, and sometimes that responsibility leads to them spending lots of place, and sometimes they feel a little guilty or just unavailable to their kids. And so grandparents, on the other hand, a lot of times have a little less responsibility. And so they're able to devote time and attention to playing, to teaching, and even to listening. And these enriching interactions can sometimes help the parent just have a little bit more time to spend with their own kids, or vice versa. They can fill that gap that's created, and they can provide valuable quality time with their grandchildren. I want to say to you, grandparents, make this a high priority, higher than some of the other things that you might fill your time with right now, like golf or pickleball or shopping or cards or hanging out with your friends. I'd encourage you to allow your grandchildren to be engaged in those same activities or maybe others so that you can build that quality time with them and give them undivided attention as you enjoy something with them. Grandparents, you can also be a trusted confidant. I chose that word deliberately because I wanted to make sure we all understood the role of a confidant. A confidant is somebody that is trusted, that offers a listening ear, that can provide guidance or counsel. Notice the words I did not use. I did not say that grandparents need to be an advocate, an ambassador, a defender. That's not the role of a grandparent. Grandparents, you are not to step in and provide authority or direction to your children as they parent their own children. And so that will require you to do what James says, to be slow to speak, quick to listen, and even slow to become angry. That's why we're talking about slowing your role, so that you understand what it is that God is asking of you, and also where the parameters, where the healthy boundaries may be. There's never a time, unless someone's at physical or emotional or sexual harm, for a grandparent to step in to take the place of a parent. Your role is to have to rely on the Holy Spirit for discernment and self-control in those moments when you feel like you would like to. The other two things I want to mention to you are not things that you can do, they're things you're commanded to do. And the first is this: grandparents are commanded to offer godly wisdom to the next generation. Younger generations, they can be really helpful to you grandparents. They can help you fix that blinking 12 that's on your VCR. You probably still have one. Or the microwave or any electronic device. They can help you solve your crisis with your iPhone. They can teach you how to create a Facebook account and FaceTime so you can stay in touch with them as they go through life. That's one of the ways the younger generation can help the older generation. But the older generation, I want to speak to you deliberately. Don't believe the lie that's from the pit of hell that says you have nothing to offer anymore. What you have to offer is experience, perspective, history, and wisdom. And this generation needs that from you because you have paid the dues. You've paid the dummy tax. We don't have to. And so step in and offer that godly wisdom graciously, generously, with self-control. Do that so that the generation coming after you can see God's instructions lived out in your life. Provide that godly wisdom when it comes to navigating relationships or making financial decisions or other major life choices. Equip the next generation with the wisdom God's given you so that they can achieve success and overcome the challenges that they might face. And finally, grandparents, you're commanded to pass down a godly heritage. You know, many grandparents enjoy sharing things that are from their life with their grandchildren. It might be learning to cook some like family recipes that have been part of your family. Maybe celebrating holiday traditions. Maybe it's even teaching skills that have been maybe part of the previous generations. Maybe it's even teaching the next generation their native language. All those are things that are beautiful to pass on. They're nostalgic and they build close relationships between one generation to the next. But the most important thing, the thing that God has commanded us to do the most, is to pass on the truth about God and his ways and how to live those out to those who are coming after us, specifically our grandchildren. Grandparents who step up spiritually, they fall into a long line of biblical heroes who, though they weren't perfect, had a lasting impact on those who came after them. Adam and Eve, like we celebrated earlier, were Enoch's grandparents. Enoch was Noah's great-grandfather. Abraham and Sarah, well, they were the grandparents of Jacob. And Isaac and Rebekah were grandparents to Joseph. Ruth and Boaz were David's great-grandparents. And Lois, she was Timothy's grandmother. I love that all the things that Paul wrote about in the New Testament, he highlighted the faith that lived in Lois, the grandma, as he saw it reflected in the grandson named Timothy. He said in 1 Timothy 1:5, I'm reminded of the sincere faith, Timothy, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I'm persuaded lives in you also. Paul also wrote to another young son in the faith. His name was Titus, and he wrote some things to challenge the older generation, how they should live and how they should invest in the next generation. Titus was the pastor of a congregation in the city of Crete. Crete is in the Mediterranean, it's an island, and at the time when Paul wrote to Titus, culturally, sin was just wreaking havoc in their lives. They were just plagued by a continual pursuit of pleasure and all sensuality. Within the church, the church was being plagued with false doctrine. And Paul wrote to Titus to teach the congregation there how to live the good, wise, godly life. And I think what he has to say is pretty apropos to what we're talking about here today. He said this in Titus chapter 2. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to too much wine, but to teach what is good. It's important to point out here that when Paul says older in reference to both the men and the women, he's actually talking about people who are 40 and older. That's probably not the age many of us were thinking about when I read those words, right? We don't want to consider ourselves in that older crowd. But Paul was writing to the people who are 40 and older, talking about how they should live to be an example to the next generation. And Paul identifies character traits in the previous generation that are helpful to influence and instruct the next generation. It's important to understand that in the Bible, there is a correlation between good, wise, and godly. They actually all are interchangeable. When Paul says you should live a life that's worthy of the gospel or the good life, he's talking about being wise and he's talking about being godly. All three of those correlate together. Before we look back at that list that Paul wrote about, let me ask you a question. What would be the words you would use to describe your grandparents? Would it be any of those words that Paul listed? Maybe the harder question to answer is this. If you're a grandparent, what words would your grandchildren use to describe you? Let's look back at Paul's list, maybe from a couple of other translations. He says, the older people, remember those of us who are 40 and older, right? We're to be mature. Now, some of the more immature people I meet are those who are just kind of fixed and set in their ways, who feel like their time has been served, and they feel like everybody's there to just serve them and follow their wishes. That's not mature, my friends. Mature means that they are focused on the important things, that they are differentiated, that they are humble, that they are godly. He talks about being sober-minded. He wasn't just talking about the use of alcohol there. He's also talking about just being right-minded, being filled with the Spirit instead of really anything else, being self-controlled. It's the ability to not say what you're thinking, even though every part of your body wants to say something, right? It's being able to think before you speak and let the Holy Spirit control you in every moment. Mature in the faith, loving, worshipful. When I look at that list, I don't see things that actually happen naturally. There are also things that actually have to get better as time goes on. They should be things that are continuing to grow and develop that get better with our age. And they certainly are a direct result to the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. As we age, we shouldn't rest. We shouldn't coast. We certainly shouldn't quit spiritually and becoming more like Jesus in the way that we live and the way that we love, so that we glorify God and also so we stand as a great example of wisdom, of godliness, of goodness to those who are following after us. Paul wrote to the Philippians and he says this, brothers and sisters, I don't consider myself yet to taking hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what's behind and straining toward what's ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. The goal is Christ-likeness. He says all of us who are mature should take such a view of these things. And if you think differently, God will make that clear to you too. That's kind of a mic drop moment for Paul there. Like, take that. God's going to fix it in your mind to tell, set you straight is what he's saying. I also love the fact that Paul was much older than 50 when he wrote these words. As we age, we must keep growing. We must keep maturing so that we can serve as a godly example to the next generation and help them know what the truth about God is as we live it out. Example is the best way to instruct. That's why Paul told Titus, in everything, set an example by doing what is good, what's wise, what's godly. Grandparents, don't give in to the culture that tells us what life should look like when we get older. Every commercial that appeals to those of us who are over 40 talks about a retirement that is so focused on pleasure, indulgence, resting on past accomplishments, self-centeredness. There's so much more to live for than those things. Glorifying God and being an example to the next generation are higher on that list than any of those. Don't let the triumphs of life, nor its troubles, let your heart grow rigid or cold or stubborn or critical, judgmental, or just plain hard to get along with. Paul tells Titus to teach the older men and women to be full of faith, hope, and love. He uses the word endurance, but those three, faith, hope, and love, are like the three central virtues and marks of godliness. They're not bad characteristics for the rest of us to live out, even if we're not grandparents. It's what the Holy Spirit develops in us as he conforms us into the image of Jesus. And so whether you're a grandparent or not, we all have the opportunity to be an example to the world around us, to those who are watching, whether it be our grandkids, our own kids, our spouse, our next door neighbor, a coworker, a friend, or anybody that God places us in their path. We have the opportunity to point them to the truth about God and all that he's done by the way that we live our life. strengthening our relationship with God by studying His Word, by learning to hear His voice, by practicing spiritual disciplines. That all will help us understand God's heart and continue maturing and growing in our relationship with Him. Recognizing our need for accountability and community helps us mature in our faith to become more than we are right now, more of God's glory revealed in our individual and collective life. And when you and I realize that we have gifts to contribute, especially to offer compassion to a world that is filled with injustice, that's when, my friends, regardless what age we are, we become living life to the fullest. Offering ourselves and sacrificing the things that God's blessed us with so that the next generation or anybody else can become all that God's created them to be. The reality is, for me growing up, I really didn't have grandparents in my life. I had three. My grandmother on my mom's side died before I was conceived. She never knew that my mom was going to have a baby, and that was a really big deal for my mom, who wasn't able to have children until later in life. My grandparents on my dad's side, good people. They love Jesus, but they live 5.5 hours away. We saw them like 3 times a year. And so for me, it was Granny Ann. It was a lady who wasn't biologically connected to my family. She was just a member of the congregation where my dad served when I grew up the most. And, or maybe I haven't grown up yet. You know what I mean? Like the longest time of my growing up years. And I look to Ann Pickerel as my grandmother. She fulfilled many of these things that the Bible speaks about, especially offering good, godly wisdom to me and encouraging me to live out my faith. One quick story about Granny Ann is one time I told her something that was really important in my life, and she responded, "Big deal." And I was a little, you know, jilted by that. I thought, like, it was a big deal. And she thought it was a big deal. That's just how she chose to express it. Big deal. And so from that point on, anytime I hear the word big deal, I don't think negative, I think positive. I'm grateful for the Granny Anns in my life. And that's the disclaimer I would make to all of us here today. We never know the opportunity that we have to influence others, and we'll miss it if we don't live the wise, the good, the godly life. So here at Crossroads, it's really important for us to equip everybody for that journey. That's why we created something that we call the roadmap. It's designed to help all of us in living and loving like Jesus by being with God, by being with others, and by being sent. All three of those expressions I just described for everybody in the room, not just for grandparents. I'd encourage you to check out the roadmap. It's filled with actions you can take as well as resources you can explore to help all of us in living and loving like Jesus. And finally, like each week of this series, we have some specific resources for grandparents. You can find them at ccgo.com/info. Click on sermon resources. There's books to read, some articles to read. There's some things to listen to, all to equip you to live out this role, responsibility, and nurture the relationship between you and your grandkids. Grandparents, you're vital to the family. We cannot and should not do life without you. We need your godly wisdom that's lived out in a godly example for us. We need you to invest the time and energy and resources that God's blessed you with into this next generation. Teach us how to love and obey and serve God as you do that with us. At this moment, I'm going to ask grandparents, if you're able, to stand back up one more time. I've just taken some scripture I found in Psalm 78, and I've written a prayer that I'd like to offer as a prayer of blessing over all the grandparents here today. And if you're close to your grandparent or the grandparent of your kids, feel free to put your arm around or on them. Let's pray together. Would you join me? God, I pray that we will all listen to the truth about you. God, that we would remember the stories that we've heard, the lessons we've learned, maybe from our fathers and mothers about you. God, I pray that we will not keep this to ourselves, but we will pass it along, especially to the next generation. We'll share with them the truth about you and all the marvelous things that you have done for us. God, help us to keep your commands and also to teach your commands to our children, to the next generation, to all the generations to come, so that they will put their trust in you. They'll know the truth about you. They'll never forget the works that you've done and what you are doing. They'll obey you fully. God, would you give wisdom and strength and joy to those who are grandparents. God, help them be a source of godly wisdom as they invest in their kids and in their grandchildren, providing a godly example for all who follow them as they live and love like your son, Jesus. And it's in his name that I pray. Amen.